Dan O'Donnell here. It is The Difference. I am joined by Brian Jacobson. He's the chief economist of Annex Wealth Management, sitting in for Dave Spano, president and CEO of Annex. Great to talk to you again, Brian. How have you been doing?
It's great. Yes, been doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Well, the pleasure is all mine as we record this on Easter Monday. President Biden is doing the annual White House Easter egg roll. I actually was just fortunate enough to interview former President Donald Trump. The presidential election is in full swing. Obviously, what the Federal Reserve decides to do with interest rates is going to bear very heavily on that. Biden wants interest rate cuts to the tune of 3, most likely, by Election Day to further spur on the nation's economy. But, Brian, it seems, and we'll talk about my interview with President Trump, we'll talk about politics, we'll talk about all of that on this edition of The Difference. But, Brian, it seems to me that the interest rate question is going to depend on the tolerance that the Federal Reserve has, and it seems like it's quite a bit, actually, for 3-4%, maybe even 5% year-over-year inflation rates.
It really does seem like that. Chair Powell has been out talking about how the Fed can be patient when it comes time to implement those cuts and how many to do it, but a lot of the language that they've been using, they're talking a good hawkish game in terms of saying about being patient, but the really subtext of what they're saying is suggesting that they're a lot more dovish in the sense that they are willing to start cutting maybe a little bit sooner than what people were originally anticipating. Chair Powell has been out there talking about how they can almost ignore some of the recent uptick in inflation numbers that we saw in January and February. And I think that's actually a somewhat disturbing trend here because service sector prices have been rising, but not as quickly as what they had been. So that's what we would call disinflation. So lower inflation does not require lower prices. It just requires them to stop rising so quickly. And service sector price inflation has been really lifting up inflation. Well, we've had some goods price deflation. So those prices have actually been declining, but that trend might be changing. We've gotten some data in from the Institute of Supply Management saying that the price pressure, and it could be because of shipping issues related to, you know, the Baltimore ports, it could be the Red Sea issues, it could be in the Panama Canal, but there are a lot of these price pressures that are beginning to build in the manufacturing area, which has been a source of deflation. So it is a rather interesting thing for investors to try to navigate now.
Yeah, it really does, because especially in an election year, it seems that we sit at a precarious point. I actually had a caller on my radio show today who said he actually got a notification from his credit card company about a suspicious purchase. It was his grocery bill. He spent 40, he swore this wasn't an April Fool's joke. He said, no, we seriously got an alert on our credit card because we spent $479 for 3 weeks for a family of three. Three people, $479. Now, you combine that with the fact that the cost of housing has gone up, insurance costs, costs to own or lease a vehicle. Everything has gone up, and these aren't things, Brian, that people can easily just sort of cut out. Like, everybody knows restaurant prices are just out of control. You're not getting out of a restaurant. I don't care if it's, you know, fine dining or Taco Bell. Four people, it's $120. I mean, it is remarkable. Even if you're not getting alcohol, $100 to go out to a nice restaurant. It used to be, for my wife and me, about $100. You get a steak or something. You have a couple of glasses of wine, whatever it is. Now, 140, 150, yep. Same easily. Restaurants, yep. Easily, right? And you can cut that out. I mean, it's easy. Okay, well, we're going to eat at home now. Well, when grocery prices are that much and you're getting for the same price, shrinkflation, I mean, a lot of people are making fun of President Biden for focusing on shrinkflation in his State of the Union address. That is a real thing. You're not getting as much food for the same price. You combine that with the cost of insurance. You combine that with high insurance high interest rates. So if you're looking to make the jump from renting to home ownership, that probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now, especially if, you know, you're already paying increasing amounts. I don't know about you, but I certainly didn't get a 30 to 40% raise over the last 3 years. I mean, people are really, really hurting right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, it almost sounds like that anecdote about the person getting the alert is something that would happen if I'm going to Costco to take advantage of one of those good hot dog meals that they have there. You know,
right.
That we haven't seen inflation there, but, you know, suddenly I go in there and then I end up spending, you know, the $400 or whatever in terms of everything else that you buy when you get sucked into that that place. But you're right about the dynamic here as far as what people are actually feeling. Now, the shrinkflation angle, I think, is really fascinating because as much as we like to make fun of government statisticians and the such, they do account for that. So it is about if you are getting fewer Snickers bars in the variety pack or if they're shrinking the size of it, they do try to control for that. So that is showing up in the inflation numbers. Now, obviously, from a company perspective, so when we're thinking about the investing angle here, some of those companies that have been trying to pass on those price increases, they've been getting somewhat punished by the markets. Some of the fast food companies where they've been very aggressive with their pricing. Initially, they maybe were able to pass on those price increases to consumers, but there is a rebellion by consumers against those price increases. And part of it is, as you point out, you know, eating out versus eating in, the eating out is a lot more discretionary than the eating in. People do need to eat, but you do have a wide variety of places to go. And so some of the higher end restaurants, the chains as well, they haven't been doing as well as those that cater to the more price sensitive consumers. Now, also affecting, say, buying food for consumption at home, it's about what's going on with all the consolidation with some of these big grocery chains as far as the, you know, the merger of some of them. That's being challenged by government regulators as well as far as is this a way to actually maybe prop up prices or to try to push through those price increases more. But consumers, they're pushing back on that.
So I really do believe that inflation and also illegal immigration are going to be the two issues that really swing this presidential election, that outside of the normal concerns about character of the man or woman you're voting for, you know, do we want 4 more years of Biden? Do we want, well, 4 more years of Trump? Do we want Trump back in the White House? Outside of those questions about, you know, personality on politics, on the actual issue, it is going to be the typical question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And I think for most people, they're going to say, no, sure, the people who have a lot in investments, who have houses, have seen the value of those go up pretty much every tangible asset. But let's face it, Brian, a whole lot of people don't have money invested. A whole lot of people don't own homes. I actually, as I said at the outset of this podcast, had the chance to interview former President Donald Trump about that. And he's actually promising mass deportations of the criminal illegal immigrants who have been flooding this country. I think you saw that Venezuela has had its crime go down by roughly 67% over the past year or so, primarily because they're taking advantage of President Biden's parole program to just ship all of the Venezuelan gangbangers out of the country and say, hey, why don't you guys go to America? So this is clearly a problem. The people of this country can see that the crimes being committed by people who have no right to be in this country are being committed. And you have got, say, New York City, I mean, giving them debit cards, for goodness sakes, as well as, and I think this is what makes people vote more than, you know, what they see. It's what they feel. And what they felt is prices that are just completely out of control. And President Trump, when I talked to him, sounded very confident about winning Wisconsin. He feels very confident about where he is in the polls. And I can't say I disagree. This seems to be the perfect environment, at least where we sit right now. Again, we're recording this on April Fool's Day, April 1st. This seems to be the sort of perfect economic and political environment for a challenge for an incumbent president to go down to defeat.
Yeah, you know, looking at the history of the elections as far as when incumbents win or lose, one of the biggest predictors of a loss by an incumbent is if you go into a recession. And we don't have a recession right now. And so you do have to kind of look at other indicators as well about how are the people who are likely to vote, what are they personally experiencing? And I think that, as with most elections, will be very dispositive or incredibly important is the voter turnout. Are people more motivated to vote for somebody or vote against somebody? And I think that when we look at the big gains that we've seen in the market, you pointed this out earlier, that not everybody, probably especially those who are likely to vote, experienced those gains. But what was very visible, what they felt and what they continue to feel, are those high price levels. And then the question becomes, who do they attribute that to? Do they blame the president? Do they blame the Federal Reserve? In fact, you know, maybe they should blame both. I think that's something that we've talked about before on this show, is just the extent to which fiscal policy and monetary policy went too far for too long. And now everybody is paying the price for it. And so now what will be the political price? And will that be borne by the president? Or if you think about the thousands of other elections that are taking place as well, whether it's at the Senate, at the House, or at state legislatures, you know, will this be a wave kind of election season where, because of the prevailing concerns about inflation, the lack of coherent immigration strategy, are these things that are really going to push people to the polls or not? And that's really the wild card here.
Yeah, it really is. And I wish I had a better crystal ball as to what the mood of the electorate is. My general sense is right now that there's a decidedly anti-incumbent streak. There is a decidedly anti-Democrat streak, and there is something of a bit of nostalgia for how well the economy was doing pre-COVID, of course, mm-hmm. under former President Donald Trump. And, you know, COVID was sort of the ultimate black swan event for markets. Who could have predicted that you would have the entire economy shut down in March of 2020? But nonetheless, there's a whole lot of games still to be played, right? This is probably still the second quarter of the game, maybe even the first. And the big wild card here, the big black swan event, is will Donald Trump actually be criminally convicted before the election, either in New York? It's not looking particularly likely that either of the two federal cases against him are going to go to trial before the election. Mm-hmm. And it looks like with the Atlanta case in complete and total disarray, they're they went to an appeals court judge to try to get Fani Willis off of this case. And I believe that's actually not a bad thing that she is taken off the case for repeatedly lying to the court, which is about as, you know, as a JD yourself, Brian, that's about as bad as it gets. And sure, both she and Nathan Wade were repeatedly lying to the court about when their relationship started. And if she's thrown off that case, yes, the prosecution would still stand, but would it still be able to go forward without her on it? So it seems very clear that this New York prosecution, which starts as we're recording this 2 weeks from today, is going to be a critical one, as it might be the only chance Democrats have to secure a criminal conviction. That said, would this, because of the unprecedented nature of the prosecution, the state is basically taking over a federal crime and prosecuting it as if it was a state crime, would the United States Supreme Court step in and just throw out the conviction well before the election?
Yeah, they can move quickly when they need to, that is for sure. So it is a really important time. We're in this season. March and April are typically a little bit rougher because people are more focused on the potential outcome of the election. But this is a slightly unusual year where that type of uncertainty is likely to persist at least for a couple more months. But then we do like to point out, we do need to take that long-term view that companies, individuals, this country as a whole, incredibly adaptable. It's all about the institutions, right, and not the individuals that are sitting in the seats of those institutions.
Yes, indeed. And that's why Annex Wealth Management exists, is to get a handle about what's going on in the economy, regardless of who's in charge, but to understand the fundamentals at play and to how they can use that to help you to better understand what you own and why you own it, to get a better look at your portfolio. All you need to do is to head to annexwealth.com, get a free wealth metric. Brian Jacobson, he is the chief economist of Annex Wealth Management. Thank you so much, Brian, for sitting in for Dave. Always do appreciate hosting shows with you.
Oh, it's an honor. Thank you.
I am Dan O'Donnell. You've been listening to The Difference.
Annex Wealth Management is a registered investment advisor. For more information about our firm, please visit annexwealth.com. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is subject to change without notice. Opinions expressed are those of the participants and don't necessarily reflect those of Annex Wealth Management, its producers, hosts, or guests. The host of this podcast is compensated for his endorsement of Annex Wealth Management. Information presented should not be considered as tax, legal, or investment advice, or recommendation or solicitation for the sale of any product or strategy. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from qualified professionals to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Investments involve risks. Neither Annex Wealth Management nor its podcast participants shall be liable for losses resulting from decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on this podcast.